Back on downtown here on a Tuesday afternoon, it's time for us to talk some Celtics basketball. And to do that, we welcome in John Corrales of Boston Sports Journal and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hello there, John. How are you today?
I am great. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm having a good time. It's a beautiful day outside, so what is it? I just wanted you to feel at home, John. That's all.
quite a moment in last night's podcast. For a brief second, I thought there's no possible way that it's happening to you the day after it happened to me, and I realized you're a clever guy. The podcast was interrupted by an alarm at the TD Garden. That's to my knowledge, is a false alarm, which is good, but it didn't stop me from finishing the podcast. You know, you always power through those interruptions. And that was a first for me. All of a sudden, in the middle of the show, that alarm started going off. Maybe it was from how hot the Celtics have been from three and the scorching Nets.
I thought that might have something to do with it, or maybe it was the fact that you were in that special performers room.
Yeah, there's no way that I'm anywhere near famous enough to be in that room. It's right off to the side, like that where the Celtics play, where the Celtics bench is. They have that tunnel where they come out. That's also where they put the stage for concerts. So that room over there is for performers, and they have a nice big seating area. But after a game, it's empty, and it's like, hey, there's a nice desk there. I get to record a podcast there, leave everything undisturbed. They just plug in and unplug, and we're good. But that's the you're not famous enough alarm to sit in there. So.
Well, no more alarms here. We've got everything covered here in studio. On the court, well, ho-hum, just another 25-point victory for the Celtics.
Yeah, this is, they've got one of the easiest strengths of schedule, the easiest at this point, remaining over their last 14 games. And this is part of it, right? You get the Detroits and Washingtons of the world, and they get Detroit again and Chicago. They get all these teams that aren't so great. But to their credit, they have been beating the pants off of those teams. There's no playing down to the opponent. I think we can count on one hand the games where the Celtics kind of let go and played down to the opponent. The last one was their last loss, that Lakers game, or not. That Lakers game was they kind of let go, and no LeBron, no AD, and they got kind of embarrassed. And that was, I think, a kind of a wake-up call. And so it's a team that learns their lessons. It's a team that doesn't give in to the bad habits all the time. And for it to only happen a few times this season, it's kind of amazing. So, it's fun to watch. But it also, like you said, ho-hum, it gets a little boring. Like, oh, okay, yeah, 20-point lead. Here it is, third quarter spurt, boom. Goes from 11 to 24 in a heartbeat, and I guess I can start my writing a little early.
Right, there you go. Another stellar performance from Derek White last night, and good to see Porzingis back out there. Some limits on the time he could play, but they got a little creative with that, and he looked fine, and even said if it was an important game, if it was a playoff game, he'd have been able to do more.
Yeah, he. I think that the hamstring thing was something where he might not have missed a game in any series had that happen in the playoffs. But they are, they have a luxury here to be extra cautious with him, and we know how important he is to the team and how much of a matchup problem he can be, which is part of why that game last night. Was, he played that 16-minute stretch in the second quarter, that weird 6 minutes and then 16 in the second, in the second half, I should say. They held him out because they said, hey, this game might get a little tight. Detroit was playing pretty well. We kind of want that matchup issue important. So they were able to kind of sit him out for a few games and take it easy, and now he's 100%. And Derek White is Derek White. I mean, he's just amazing. He's a fun guy to watch. He just knows the game really well. He's super smart. He's, I mean, What a win of a move from Brad Stevens. It's unbelievable how good this guy has become, and he can still get better. He plays the game the right way. He has no hesitation on his jump shot anymore. It's really amazing to see his development.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. You wrote about it at Boston Sports Journal. The big lead in the East also has given them the luxury of being able to try some new things, some different combinations.
Yeah, I think it's super important that they have this opportunity here because, like last night, they started Luke Kornet next to Porzingis, and he got them 11 minutes in that game together. They've been averaging 4 minutes a game together, just brief crossovers in the few times that they have played. And you could see it. They were kind of bumping into each other. Porzingis said we were running to the same spots. It wasn't the best spacing, but they're figuring it out. And you just never know. Playoff matchup is a double big like those two to protect the rim going to be necessary? Is Al Horford going to, you know, land on somebody's ankle taking a three-pointer and sprain an ankle? And now you have to go to Luke Kornet. You just never know what the situation is. You may never go to it, but now you have more than a dozen games left. You can throw it out there against live competition. It's almost like you're staging a practice at the Garden and you've hired the Pistons to come on in. Hey, let's fill the stands with people anyway, just to get that realistic feel. And let's get a few practice reps in. That's essentially what that game was for them. And not a lot of teams have that luxury, especially with this much time left. They can kind of take two separate paths over the next few weeks of ramping guys up and getting them the playoff ramp up that they need, while also when those guys need to rest, kind of getting in your Luke Kornet weird combinations. We saw Jaden Springer. You get Xavier Tillman worked into there. I don't recall seeing a team having that kind of luxury in a while, and it's only going to benefit them.
Tomorrow night they've got the Bucks. They're not going to catch the Celtics in the East. With that in mind, does that game mean more to Milwaukee to maybe make a statement than it does to the Celtics?
Oh, for sure. Because Milwaukee not only wants to make a statement, they still need to figure themselves out. And they're starting to, their defense is getting a little bit better. Their offense is starting to move towards make a little bit more sense. They're starting to get their rep. Lillard pick and roll, both. Yeah, they are not in sync with Boston. They need to go out there and work on themselves. They need to go out there and hone their skill, hone their chemistry, because they haven't gotten there yet. As opposed to Boston, which has, and now they're, like I said, experimenting a little bit, getting some kind of mix of rotations in there. But at the same time, the Celtics need to kind of experience that playoff type atmosphere, which Wednesday night will be. They need to, you know, get their main guys, their reps against these good teams. And I think they're going to go out there and play to their backbone capabilities. But a loss to Milwaukee there doesn't hurt them really, because unless Milwaukee wins out and Boston completely collapses, the East is Boston's. And the NBA top of all seed is probably going to be Boston's too. So it does mean more to Milwaukee.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. So I guess to wrap it up, what you're saying is nothing to be alarmed about for Celtics fans. That's awful.
It's your mic drop. You know what? That's a great finish.
Thanks, John. We'll see you next week.
See you, man.
That's John Corrales checking in on the Celtics with us here on Downtown.